All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. It is Independence Day. This is our second broadcast for the day. We had Jamie Walden with us on earlier, so you'll be able to hear that one on GS Radio for July 4th, today's viewing. And this message, God willing, will be on for tomorrow, July 5th. We still take this time to carve out a section of our day to praise the Lord. As me and Billy were saying our prayer briefing prayer, to praise the Lord, to magnify Him. And I pray that this message speaks through all of you, that you hear the empathy that is coming through us through the Holy Spirit, that it blesses you, blesses your family, that we all together lift up Christ and we raise Him there as our only high standard that we should be looking for. Not a sports figure, not a politician, not a role model from history, but the Son, Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that we should be looking up to. Billy, it's been a while since we've come on. And, yep. You know, I'm so thankful and glad that your ministry is growing overseas. Would you be able to tell everybody where it was in the beginning and where it is now overseas?
Can we postpone that until after the gospel messages,
if it's okay? Absolutely. Don't let me forget.
It's all good, though, people.
Yep, don't let me forget. All right, so without further ado, Billy, floor is yours.
Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. His loving kindnesses, tender mercies, and compassions are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. His mercy endureth forever. This is Sinner Save coming at you on the American Vindicta YouTube channel, operated by Mr. Doug Thornton, and also Worldwide Christian Radio Shortwave World Band at 90.350 megahertz, also 90.350 kilohertz. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. It is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that His only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that His everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that His elect saints be greatly encouraged, cheered, and comforted in these evil and perilous days. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And so we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by His sovereign free grace. That is to say, Almighty God and His unmerited favor to save me and you from our sins and from hell. Your reward, Christ Jesus Himself, for all eternity. It is written in Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you or fool you or trick you of your reward. Let no man beguile you of your reward. There is a present reward of grace enjoyed in the hearts of the faithful, which consists in pardon of sin, peace of conscience, and joy in the Holy Ghost. These are the rewards of Jesus' toils and sufferings for us, since an artful and subtle serpent hath gained access to the human heart. We can never be warned too much to beware of men. Satan deceived man at the beginning by means of part of himself. He still beguiles men by man. Though the adversary cannot pluck one of Christ's sheep out of his hands, nor rob the loving Savior of one of his precious jewels of his mediatorial crown, still, we are to consider him as a restless, implacable foe who will strive by all means to perplex and distress our souls. Has Jehovah Jesus appeared to us in the vision of faith? Hath He spoke to our trembling hearts in His word and by His spirit as he did to the father of the faithful, i.e. Abraham. The Lord God omnipotent said to his friend Abraham, that just as he says to all of you blood-bought saints out there today from Genesis 5:1, fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Like the racers in the Olympic Games, we must expect false judges, corrupted umpires who will judge against us, determine the prize contrary to our faith and hope in free grace, promises, and sovereign determinations. They will judge against the truth and glory of our prize, as though we were not complete in Christ Jesus, as though we were not wise by his wisdom, righteous by his righteousness, holy by his holiness, perfectly redeemed from all sin, curse, and wrath by his complete redemption. But that somewhat is to be found entrusted in to in nature and self to entitle us to God's grace and secure us to a crown of glory. Negative. Blessed admonition. Let no man beguile you, judge against you, ye freeborn, heaven-born souls, concerning the perfect freeness and infinite fullness of your prize, your reward, Jesus. For by this they would weaken your faith, disturb your peace, and oppose your comfort. I'll interject before continuing here, but it's like the Judaizers that Paul rebuked. They were introducing law with grace. It's impossible. You can't do that. I'll continue. So they would beguile you to run uncertainly, as though your hopes were suspended on your own faithfulness to grace, your fulfilling terms and conditions whereby to secure the prize. Ever reject such selfish, mercenary, base, compounding notions with detestation as contrary to covenant love and gospel grace, dishonoring to our precious Savior and grieving to the Holy Sovereign Spirit, who bears witness that there is a remnant according to the election of grace, that the prize is adjudged to them by grace, not of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Romans 11, verses 5 and 6. Firm as the earth thy gospel stands, my Lord, my hope, my trust. If I am found in Jesus' hands, my soul can ne'er be lost. His honor is engaged to save the meanest of his sheep. All that his heavenly Father gave, his hands securely keep. Old-timer preacher William Mason. The death of Jesus Christ was and is so powerful and effectual that it alone secured and ensures the complete salvation of all for whom he lived, died, and arose. It is the very righteousness of God to enable God to be both a just God and a Savior. Consider the following words written by preacher Augustus Toplady, the author of the very old hymn entitled Rock of Ages. Brother Augustus said, "From whence this fear and unbelief? Hath not the Father put to grief his spotless Son for me? And will the righteous judge of men condemn me for that debt of sin, which, Lord, was charged on thee? Complete atonement thou hast made, and to the utmost farthing paid, whatever thy people owed. How then can wrath on me take place, if sheltered in thy righteousness and sprinkled with thy blood?" Hallelujah, what a message. I don't know who wrote this, but it's short and very powerful. Christ only is my rock and my salvation. The scriptures say, tell me anything contrary to this truth. He only is my rock and my salvation, and it is heresy. And bring to me any heresy, and by comparing it with, he only is my rock and salvation, you will have found out why it is a heresy. So in other words, it's Christ alone. The ultimate sorrow of life without Christ. The history of a certain young man is recorded in Matthew 19 and also Mark 10, and Luke chapter 18. This young man had everything we can imagine as to the glories of life here on earth. He was rich, powerful, and moral, but he lacked one thing: the perfection of holiness, righteousness, and love, which would qualify him for eternal life and glory in heaven. See Mark 10:21 and Luke 18:22. The state of his heart was one of pride and self-righteousness, because he imagined he could attain these things by his works under the law. Do you or I imagine we are better than this young man? If so, our end will be the same as his. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Matthew 19:22. The lesson of this young man's life is that we are all sinners. From the worst of us to the best of us, we have no righteousness, no perfection of love for which to recommend us unto God or qualify us for heaven. Please see Romans 3:10. It also shows us that by nature, we do not desire these things God's way, but insist upon attaining them our way. See Romans 3:11 through 12. What is the answer for us? The answer is profound and yet simple. It is Christ, the Lord, and salvation by God's free and sovereign grace in him alone. True holiness, righteousness, and the perfection of law can only be found in this glorious person who is God in the flesh, and in his perfect work of redemption and the shedding of his blood for the sins of his people. Excellent news. God commands us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. This salvation is not deserved or earned by us. It is a gift of God's grace. This salvation is not the product of our so-called free will or our works. Please see Romans 9:16. If it were, we could say that we were better than this young man. He was unwilling to come to Christ for salvation, and he was working diligently to earn salvation by works of the law. Impossible. True salvation is the product of God's sovereign will and Christ's righteous work for his people. Please see Romans 10:4. The lesson of the life of this young man is this: life, whether in youth, middle age, or old age, without Christ will end up in nothing but sorrow. That was from preacher Bill Parker of Eager Avenue Grace Church, located in Albany, Georgia. Bill Parker has a YouTube or a sermon audio page. He's an outstanding preacher of righteousness, always exalting Christ. I was conceived and born in sin, corrupt without, corrupt within, estranged from God, a sinner lost. My heart as cold as winter frost. I wandered round in darkest night and shied away from Christ and light. I never would have turned around, but by the Savior I was found. He shined the light into my heart and made my guilty soul to smart, convinced of sin and self-condemned. I knew that I must learn of him. He drew me, and I followed near, his face to see, his words to hear. Now to my soul he's been revealed, his sovereign grace I know and feel. Praise God, who chose a wretch like me. Praise Christ, who lived and died for me. Praise God, the Spirit, who did call my soul to Christ, my all in all. Those words are from the very old gospel hymn titled Doxology. The gospel is not an offer. An offer presupposes a man's ability to accept or reject the offer. To offer life to one who is dead in sins would be absurd and insincere. God does not offer life. God gives life. And you hath he quickened. That word quickened means made alive. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Did Christ offer life to Lazarus? Of course not. He commanded life. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And I've heard it said, Doug and brothers and sisters in Christ out there, that had he not used Lazarus's name, all the bodies in that graveyard would have sprung up. Talk about power. Many years ago, a young man delivered a sermon in a Welch chapel. After he finished the sermon, he remarked to an old gentleman, "What did you think of my sermon?" The old man replied, "It was a very poor sermon." "A poor sermon? My friend, it took me a long time to prepare it." "I'm sure that it did," said the old man, "but it was still a poor sermon." "Was my delivery poor, or were my illustrations poorly applied?" "Oh, no," said the old man. "Your delivery was excellent, and your arguments and illustrations were very good." "Then why did you say that I preached a very poor sermon?" The old man paused and slowly said, "There was no Christ in your sermon." The young man replied, "Christ was not the text. We must preach what is in the text." My young friend, in every text, there is a road to Christ. Your business as a minister of the gospel is to find that road which leads to Christ and get on it as quickly as you can. For no sermon will do a sinner good if it does not lead him to Christ. The best sermon is that sermon which is fullest of Christ. I believe that every sermon we preach should contain the three R's: ruined by the fall, redemption by the blood of Christ, and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Ruined, redemption, regeneration. If our hearers learn these in their hearts, they will not go far wrong on other matters. But if they have not learned these, it will matter very little what else they learn. They will be like those who are ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising him, and my voice will never tire or grow old, and my song shall ever be, "Praise the Lamb who died," and I'll sing it while ages shall roll. That was old-timer preacher Henry Mahan. A few years ago, he went to be with the Master in Paradise. There is no grace but free and sovereign grace. No election but eternal and unconditional election. No redemption but particular and effectual redemption. No salvation but by the irresistible grace and omnipotent power of God the Holy Spirit, and no security but by the absolute preservation of God's immutable goodness. And any pretended gospel that does not proclaim these things is, as Paul says, another gospel that is damning to the souls of men. Sound warning message. I don't know which preacher of righteousness mention that, those two paragraphs. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And the Master also says in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow, for none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ while he may be found, and seek him while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. This about wraps up this evening's broadcast. I trust Almighty God will awaken his sleeping elect and draw multitudes of men, women, and children today around the world to his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness. Yehovah Tzidkenu, bless the name, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One of Israel, HaKadosh Israel. Hallelujah. If you are led of the Lord to contribute funds to sponsor future American Vindicta YouTube broadcasts, then get a hold of Mr. Doug Thornton. Also, if any of you would like to sponsor future shortwave world band radio broadcasts, then please go to the website wwcr.com and get their physical mailing address to send your donation. I don't need to even touch it. Just send it right to the radio station. Please remember to indicate that it's for the storm warning broadcast. Of interest here, friends, is that there are millions of poor folks that do not have modern devices, but they do have old-fashioned, inexpensive radios, and that's how they're able to listen to this gospel message. I greatly appreciate those of you that have donated to Doug and to Storm Warning Broadcast. In doing so, you are propagating Almighty God's everlasting gospel around the world and to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the soon coming Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings unto those that fear him in his holy name. Talk about a glorious future, people. The things that we're suffering in this day and age are very light afflictions, according to one of the apostles, compared to the glory that God has prepared for his saved people in Christ. If you'd like to communicate with me, then please feel free to write. The email address is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. And please indicate what country you're from, what life is like, where you live, and how the reception was on your radio or YouTube channel. I look forward to writing you back. One more time, email address, thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends, our mighty and glorious Rock of Ages, King of Saints, King of Glory, King of Kings and Lord of Lords is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, we pray thee, Lord Jesus Christ, come quickly. Maranatha.
Amen. Good word, brother.
Hallelujah.
So would you be willing to let us know how the storm warning is doing overseas?
Well, it's tied into storm warning. You see, I started a blog. It's the Hoffman Report. I spell the word the, and then Hoffman is Hoffmann. So two F's, two N's. The Hoffman Report dot blog spot, B-L-O-G, spot dot com. And something I started, the Lord had me to start this up in 2007. And I just find it so exciting, and I praise God. I'm able to track the views from people that are reading a single gospel message. It might be a single paragraph, or it might be four pages in length. But my point is, we've had people visit and read these gospel messages from like 82 or 83 countries, including communist China. And that to me is very exciting. But in the month of July, something really neato happened. Doug, I already told you about this. So this is for our friends out there. There's a small country, Singapore, and I think it's connected to Myanmar. And it's not too far away from Red China. And Doug, can you briefly inform the folks what you told me? How does China have a grip on Singapore, or what's going on there before I continue?
Absolutely. Yeah. China's infiltrated everything. They control everything that's within that, you know, that part of their territory. I mean, within 500 to 1,000 miles, China's into it. They're owning it all the way to the Pacific Islands. You know, they are literally everywhere. But that also means that their communist reach and their communist mindset is everywhere. And the fear and the threat of retaliation or retribution from the Communist Chinese Party is very real. My wife and I, during COVID, I'm not sure if I told you this, Billy, but during COVID, my wife and I were in communications with a brother and a sister, I believe, who were preaching the word in underground churches when everything was in like major lockdown. And I mean, they were literally going to homes where there were preachers, and they were burning the homes down and dragging the preachers on the streets and killing them. Like, this is current day genocide against Christians, and the WEF all for it. They said that the model country is China. Joe Biden says that China is his friend. Donald Trump said that Xi Jinping, the man who ordered all this to happen, was his friend.
Gosh.
You know, regardless if he was saying it tactfully or not, he still said it. I'm sorry, China, you're not my friend. You know, anyone who will willfully become Antichrist is not my friend. and we should choose our words very wisely. So yes, Billy, I mean the threat is real in those areas, man. It's bad.
So the Christian brothers and sisters in Singapore are in the Hurt Locker, and but something happened in July, which is very exciting to me. It's caused me to glory in the power of the Lord to do things for his people. There were 20,508 gospel page views. 99.5% of those were from Singapore. Now, I've only got like a little over 3,400 gospel messages posted since 2007, year of our Lord. So what I know must be going on is that these various Christians in Singapore, they've got to be downloading these to thumb drives or something before the time when the communications are going to shut down. And that we've talked about it briefly. I'll just mention it. The Lord Jesus said, "Work while it is the day, for the night cometh when no man can work." And I think your audience are smart enough to realize that the wicked, they want to shut down communications. And that's a praise report. And let's we pray for our brothers and sisters in every single country, every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. And part of a prophecy, I think it's from Isaiah, "Say ye unto the righteous," that means those in Christ, "say ye unto the righteous, it shall be well with thee, but say ye unto the wicked, it shall be ill with thee." I'm done there, brother.
Reminds me of a few scriptures. For one, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance." All should reach repentance. That's a mighty gesture, if you could say that, of the olive branch. If you go back into biblical history, I mean, how many times did the children of Israel do evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord chastised them quite brutally? And for me, I put myself spiritually as if my home is Israel, and I do not want that terror ever upon my home or the citizens of my kingdom, which is my little home, to ever experience that. And as the high priest of our home, that is the men's responsibility, also as the warrior priest to protect, as also as the high priest to be the first one up and out and praising the Lord in the morning. And I am guilty of that. I'm going to start setting my alarm clock a little bit earlier. My wife typically beats me getting out of bed at times because she's up and down all night most of the time with the new baby. But I'm going to try my best to be the first one up and praising the Lord the first thing in the morning, setting the tone of the house, setting the tone for the house, setting the tone for the family. Go ahead.
May the Lord, our God, in Jesus' name, help us to walk circumspectly, for the days are evil. In Jesus' name.
Hey, we were talking about China. Listen to this verse. This is 1 John chapter 2. Verse 22. "Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son." As I'm just broad spectrum looking across the international platforms of the world, that is every nation, every city, every leader on earth. Every single one of them. Now, I will say that, and if any of them listen, and you are not like that, then by all means, the next time you speak in front of your people, proclaim the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ on air. And if you don't, do not say you're a Christian. Don't sell me a book of lies. I don't care that you want my vote or that you want anyone's vote. That goes for the Republicans, the Democrats, the RFKs, the Donald Trumps. The moment we start walking this really thin line and we start to sway off of it, as leaders, people are watching you. They're watching what you're doing and they're judging you. Not only are they judging you, but they're taking inspiration from you. And if you are setting the tone saying you're a Christian, but I allow this sin in my life, or I'm a Christian, but I allow that sin in my life. Well, others who are not Christians, who are looking to you, getting that urge from the Spirit, and they see you not abiding in what you say, you're also going to lead them astray. So, Billy, for you and I to come onto the radio waves and to proclaim the name of Christ, and then to be seen walking in error is very grave
Oh, I know
because
it. I,
we're taking ourselves the next level of accountability. Go ahead.
oh man, the Lord's been doing a number on me. I did some backsliding, and he's spanking me in a fatherly way. Thank you, Lord. But speaking of the kings of the earth, the magistrates, presidents, prime ministers, allow me just to quickly read Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us, say these evil leaders. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. And derision is not a good thing, man, by, okay, so then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, meaning Christ. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And what Doug was saying about publicly coming forth, listen to verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled. But a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So that kiss the Son has absolutely got to be a public confession of faith.
Yeah, absolutely. And, once again, walking boldly in our faith. You read Psalm 2. I want to read to you Proverbs 3.
Please do.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. My son, and this is something that I as a father sat down and I read this to my 6-year-old son, Magnus. And he cried and I cried. We were both so moved by the Spirit.
Wow.
You can feel the Father's love in his words, right? For me,
Yeah.
that's what I'm searching for.
Sure.
So
He
this is this.
speaks to our inward man by the power of his word and the Holy Spirit. Please continue.
That's right. All right, Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For a length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. How many of us are guilty of that one?
Sure.
In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
What a promise.
Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh, a refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights.
Thank God.
You know, as a 300-pound man, not going to lie, it tears me up whenever I read it, because you can feel the love of the Father, and which is a love that we don't deserve.
Oh, you, exactly. You nailed it. His great, he loved us so much, he sent the Lord Jesus.
I want to read to you guys the devotional for today, July 4th. Lord Jesus, come quickly, come soon. In Revelation, Jesus announces, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." That's Revelation 22, verse 7. 5 verses later, Christ says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his work." That's verse 12. Here is the cry of all who look expectantly for Jesus' return. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." That's verse 17. This refers to the bride of Christ, made up of a worldwide body of believers under his lordship. You may ask, I understand this is the believer's heart cry, but why would the Spirit also cry out for Jesus to come? It is because this is the Holy Spirit's last prayer, knowing his work on earth is almost completed. Like Paul or Peter, who were told by God their time was short, the Spirit likewise cries, "Come, Lord Jesus." Where do we hear this cry of the Spirit today? It comes through those who are seated with Christ in heavenly places, who live and walk in the Spirit, their bodies the temple of the Holy Spirit. Their Spirit cries in and through them, "Hasten, Lord, come." When was the last time you prayed, "Lord Jesus, come quickly, come soon"? Personally, I cannot remember praying this prayer. I never knew I could hasten Christ's coming by allowing the Spirit to pray this prayer through me. Yet Peter gives us proof of this incredible truth, looking for the hastening, the coming of the day of God. 2 Peter 3:12. In Greek, the phrase "hastening the coming of that day" means to speed up, to urge on. Peter says our expectant prayers are hastening, speeding up, urging the Father to send back his Son quickly. The Lord's merciful patience dictates the timing of his return. Just imagine what happens if all over the world, Christ's bride woke up and prayed in the Spirit. Come.
That's a good admonition, brother.
You know, I prayed that prayer one time. I prayed that prayer multiple times. In my most favorite place in America, some of you may have heard it, Portland.
Yeah, right.
We were standing out on the riot line, gas mask on, you know, green clouds of CS gas and orange clouds of OC gas, people coughing, throwing stuff at us, and we're shooting at them with our less than lethal launchers, and it was just madness. And I see this entire group of reprobates in their own phalanx. And how funny was this? If you guys have been listening, I've been talking about Thermopylae quite a bit. Thermopylae in was my study that I did for history when I was taking college classes. And I absolutely am infatuated with the entire battle that was Thermopylae because of the selfless sacrifice that there was. There's so many things that you can learn from that one battle. And I see, Billy, they're in this phalanx of umbrellas. Umbrellas, okay? Not shields. You know, and to me, as I'm looking at them, I just imagine how weak they are. This is the enemy. This is the enemy. They really are weak compared to us. And me, I am going more into the Spirit as I'm analyzing the battlefield in front of me. It's night. It's hot. We're running, chasing people. You know, all kinds of craziness is going on all around us. We were more or less surrounded. And I just sat there and I imagined, you know, what is the end times going to look like? My little micro
Right.
obscure vision of just my own little area of operations right here was chaotic. What will it look like when we Christians are the ones surrounded having to fight this off like they did many times in history? And I see this whole little phalanx of reprobates. Brother, I can't make this stuff up. Out of nowhere, they start doing sexually explicit things to each other. And they're wearing Baphomet costume hats, like masks. They have all this satanic garb on. You see men with men and women with women and amphibians galore. And then I remember uttering out loud, and I'm on communications talking to different team leaders, talking to bosses who are watching us from certain vantage points of cameras. That's your job as supervisors, to look after everything, watching my guys, looking for different threats. And just out of nowhere, without me thinking it, my spirit prayed out loud, "Lord Jesus, come back."
Oh my.
And I just realized how many different times I have said that because of what I was seeing. And we had members of the Catholic clergy. We had members of the state government, the federal government, people that were doctors in hospitals and nurses. We had attorneys out there. There were legitimate Democratic politicians were in the crowd. And I'm just sitting here thinking the whole world has collapsed in on itself, and I am watching the beginning phases of the next civil war.
Sure, and we've mentioned it before, but Deuteronomy 28, verse 28, the Lord is smiting this nation and all the other nations with astonishment of heart, with blindness and madness. And what you experienced, Doug, it's man,
It's crazy. It's
you and
crazy.
Bob talk about this a lot. It's going to be much, much more intense.
It's crazy to think about how many people that claim to be Christians that were sitting there and were looking at us as if we're the enemy, and they
Gosh.
are all communist. They're all communists. Like, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know this, communism is not good. Like, it's not good. It's evil. And the fact that that evil is resting within the supposed leaders of different various bodies of Christian religions, which I think is a huge problem. We shouldn't have various Christian religions, but that's just me. It reminds me of why we are so divided, and a house divided cannot stand.
That's right.
And so, Billy, let's put ourselves into the mindset of the future here. Here we are trying to minister to groups of people in the future. Let's put ourselves in that tribulation saints time frame. Now, for all you pre-trib rapture people, you can just hold your breath. For those who've never been around the world, there have been genocides, holocausts, outright slaughter of millions upon millions. And the Lord didn't come. So why that's dangerous, this pre-tribulation rapture theory, which all it is a doctrine of man and a theory, is that if you experience something horrific and you have all these people around you and you've been telling them the moment it gets really bad, harpazo, that's a word everyone uses right now, isn't it? We're gone. We're getting caught up in the air. What happens when you don't get caught up in the air?
Oh, you're going to be totally mudsucked.
It
The people that
destroys the inner faith of
that's,
people.
you said it re really well. If these people have true God-given faith to begin with, I mean, as far as the, I was erroneously taught about a pre-tribulation catching away of the saints, but the Lord revealed to me throughout, over the years, that it's very simple. It's what Paul said at the last trump. There's going to be seven trumpets. So, I mean, come on, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, and at the last trumpet, I mean, if you just read Revelation 1 through 22, and you read it in that order, and Look, I know some people will take Revelation and they'll shuffle it like a deck of cards. I read it as is. Okay. Pray to the Holy Spirit. May he, you bring you discernment and give you an
Yes.
idea of what's going on. My thing when I became a Christian was I prayed for discernment, wisdom and discernment, which is, it's hard to bear when you get a lot of wisdom. And what I come to find out, and this is just how God spoke it to me, was there are going to be so many things happening before the Antichrist comes. I mean, man's hearts are going to fail them for fear of what comes up upon the earth or what strikes the earth, the fire that's going to come down upon the earth. Now, Satan's wrath, some of us will go through. The Lord's day, we are not meant for that. We are not meant for the Lord's day. So, if you go through this rapture paradigm, find yourself somewhere within there and just be ready at any moment in time to meet the Lord. I don't beat up people who are pre-tribulation rapture,
Right.
post-tribulation, interim. Tim Albarino has 20 different sayings for, when the Lord comes, but me and him are kind of on the same wavelength. Whenever the Lord comes, I'll be glad. Until
Exactly.
then, the fight is on.
Yes.
I think many of our doctrines are dangerous. I think many of our doctrines are dangerous and we're leading people astray. And we, people cling on to this verse, my blessed hope. Is your blessed hope the verse a blessed hope? Or is your blessed hope the Redeemer, Jesus
Yes,
Christ?
good way to put it. May the Lord help us to rightfully divide His word of truth. That scripture, prove all things or test all things, hold fast that which is good. May the Holy Spirit give us discernment, prudence, wisdom, sagacity, the knowledge to discard man's fallen teachings or doctrines. And just to cling to what the Lord has said. And we'll never stop doing that until we're with the Master in paradise. So it's gonna
Absolutely.
be don't be sad to hear that, folks, but
And don't beat other people up because they believe something different than you.
yeah, that's good. That's good. Help us to be gentle and loving. Even those who despitefully use us and mock us,
You speak of mockery. I have something. I'll let you finish up. I have something that I want you and I to comment on.
well, go right ahead, bro.
All right, so I'll have to edit this in and then play the video in it, but I want you to hear this audio. Here, let me send this to myself. I should have done this already.
Take your time.
I'm just acting on the Lord's whim here.
Take your time. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.
Amen. All right. Now I want you to watch this filth. Now, we speak of righteous indignation. Look at what the enemy is starting to proclaim amongst our own people.
Oh.
I invite you to rise in body or spirit and let us confess our faith today in the words of the Sparkle Creed. I believe in the non-binary God whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads and
Man.
Saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints as numerous, creative, and resilient as patches on the ace quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud, and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling to each of us that love is love is love. So, beloved, let us love. I believe, glorious God, help my unbelief. Amen.
Blasphemy! Man, those folks are worshiping the fallen creatures, and they're not worshiping the Creator, just like Romans 1 talks about. This is madness.
Unreal, man. Unreal. That is heresy.
It's all over the place.
You know, and once again, what is going to be left for America when we are nothing more than fire and ruin?
I was just thinking ruinous heaps.
Yep. Not much of a legacy can be built on top of sulfur. This is your future, America. This is what you chose. You chose to follow these reprobates. You denied everything from what the founding fathers did on July 4th with the Second Congress when they declared their freedom from a tyrannical government, and every single life lost from that day to this heresy. You spit upon every man and woman's face who fought for this country, because until recently, we fought in the mindset that God, the Creator, the Lord Jesus, was our only Savior. And then you decided to change it for yourself. But this started, Billy, this started actually back in the 1800s, the 18th century, 17th century, the movement of the Enlightened. And then it moved into the modern industrial revolution. And then it moved into pre or post modern industrial revolution. And it has been with us ever since. And we are no different, as Solomon says, than the past. This is idolatry worship. The worship of devils and demons.
There is no new thing under the sun, Solomon said.
Billy, how much longer until Baal will be worshiped again in America?
Oh, it's already happened. I've read stories years ago that they were they had the entrance gate that false god, and they were parading it around at capitals and
the Archway of Baal. And you know what's funny? Here's what's funny. The Archway of Baal, they 3D printed. This is where they would walk through to go and murder their children, by the way. They 3D printed it. They paraded it all over the world. It came, I believe, first to America, and it was here for months. Who was it? And you can say what you want about this divinely. Who was it that God sent to go and destroy it? He didn't send a Christian army to go and destroy it, did he? He sent ISIS to go and tear down everything. Now, there's a lesson to be learned there, because in the Old Testament, God uses the enemy nations of Israel to tear down idols and idol worshipers. He will raise up an army, and he will say, "This is my army that I have raised up to punish you for your idol worship." And if we continue to go down this path, it's just my mindset, there will be a heathenistic nation that will be drudged up out of the muck and mire of hell and will be supernaturally reinforced, will be supernaturally engineered, motivated, well-funded, well-placed, well-disciplined, and will bring us to our unhumbling knees, thus humbling America. I don't know about you, but I believe America is Babylon. In that whole statement, Babylon will fall in 1 hour.
It's definitely, America is modern day Babylon.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah, I was looking at this back in 1999, and I could not refute what I was reading at the time. How did King Solomon say that? With much wisdom cometh much sorrow. Right.
We know the right things to do, don't we? We know the right things to do. We have the scripture to tell us historically, these are the wrong things you do. These are the right things that you do. And we willfully, where's my Bible? We willfully take our Bibles, and when we go to church, we hold them in our lap, and they're nothing more than a convenient armrest. Our best weapon is this. This is your best weapon. And we don't use it. Instead, we believe in carnal weapons, which, you know, in America, we believe that it's going to be our guns that's going to save us.
Negative.
Yeah, no way. You want to speak about that?
Cursed is the man that trusteth in the arm of his flesh. Now, it is lawful that we have a means of lawful self-defense and for good purposes. But don't be trusted in the bang-bang sticks. Be trusted in the Most High God. This Micah 6:8 came to mind as you were speaking, brother. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. There's a lot that you can unpack from that.
You know, when I read about King David as he slew the giants, the Bible refers to our own men as mighty men of valor. And look back in Old Testament. I've been doing a lot of Old Testament reading lately, and I find it very interesting how almost every chapter you will see the Lord raised up Israel, reinforced them, made them supernaturally strong. They defeated enemies that they shouldn't. And then they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God judged them. And then the next one, God raised up Israel, and then they fell, did things that were evil in the sight of the Lord, and God judged them. So, you know, he's setting up an obvious timeline of factual events to prove to everybody, how many different times do I have to raise you up, Israel? How many times do I have to feed you, Israel? And you deny me, you grumble, you complain to Moses and Aaron, you complain to Joshua and Caleb, but yet I'm here, and you are victorious until you put sin in the camp, like what you did with Ai, like what you did at Jericho. And then I have to come down and punish you. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You choose to live in the flesh. And then you grumble when I come and I collect the sins that you have so bountifully created. That's part of the harvest. America, how much have we, how many sins do we have in our storehouse at this point?
Oh, America has sown to the wind and is reaping the whirlwind with much more to come.
What do you see in the future, Billy, as you, your many years of experience operationally, your many years of experience traveling the world, as you look upon this plane now, and you see 2023 and 2024 coming, what do you think is going to happen within a year?
I think about this all the time. It's just as the master said, that the love of many shall wax cold. And as the Lord cranks on the heat and the pressure, that word pressure means tribulation, people are going to have no love for one another. It's going to be deeply saddening for God's people. But eventually he will wipe all our tears away. And any thoughts on your end?
Well, I'm not here to sell anybody anything. over the weekend at the training course, I probably had everybody in the class tell me that I do a very poor job at promoting the things that I sell. They're on my website. If you want to go buy from there, you buy from there. I get like a 1%, you know, cash back from buying anything from my Patriot Supply. I don't push it. I don't push it because I push more of this than I do of the food that you eat, because I think there may come a time for many of us listening who have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on preparations. I know some of you. I've met some of you. I've worked for some of them. And you never know when you may get caught out in the storm and you can never return back home. And the only thing you have on you is what you got and then the spirit that's inside you, right?
Right.
So, you know, be prepared mentally and physically for that time, for that tribulation. My wife and I, as carnal as I used to be, I trusted in guns. I trusted in my strength. I trusted in my abilities. Oh, does one little back injury, oh, how can that slow a man like me down and really make me realize, which I believe God did this to humble me, by the way. I'm not ashamed to say it. I was like very...
like the thorn in Paul's side.
That's right. I was very bullheaded. I believed and trusted in me. I think there may come a day where, you know, the gun won't do it. I don't know what's going to be exactly coming out of the ground, the bottomless pit. And I don't know exactly what the future holds for the monsters and gene manipulated, engines of destruction that are going to be out there. Because right now, the mad scientists are out there trying to resurrect the T-Rex in Texas. Have you people not watched Jurassic Park? Like, that's a horrible idea. They're trying to create a artificial intelligent God. Have you people not watched the entire Terminator series? Horrible idea. You know, they're trying to do everything they can, I believe, to circumvent God's grace, God's mercies. They're trying to create their own grace, their own mercies. They want to live forever. But the thing is, they don't want you to live with them. Isn't that right, Billy? It's a big club, but we're not in it.
Exactly.
They want us to work for them. We are the serf class. We are the slave class. Me and Billy were part of that serf and slave class. We were the warrior class. There's no difference between the warrior class and the logistics people. You can't have one without the other. I don't look down upon anybody because I know my role. But once you get into that political bastion, once you get into that next rank of social hierarchy, they look down upon you. I know a couple billionaires and millionaires, and I know, speaking to them, the way they've told me their interactions with other billionaires and millionaires are, they're predatory when they look down upon people, that they literally think that you are only here to consume and to provide for them.
Gosh, that's bad.
Many kings and many kingdoms, and our politicians are nothing more than crownless princes and princesses. And they all answer to one, right? That's Satan. They all answer to Satan. And that's our future. That's our future. War is your future. Pestilence and famine is your future. Earthquakes in diverse places are your future. Rumors of wars are your future. A man's home, turning against him, his own children turning against him, that's your future, because that's what prophecy says. Donald Trump is not going to come and stop prophecy. Now, maybe like Nineveh, we can all hit our knees and pray God's protection and mercy and for him to move for us, because we're too cowardly to do it on our own. But I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening because, for one thing, you have that reprobate, that minister lady that we just watched. You still have who knows how many of these abortion clinics, and I can get canceled just for saying this, but I'll say it anyways. God's grace and mercy be on this podcast. But all these abortion clinics collecting the blood of the innocent for the elite. That's what they're doing.
Man.
Right? That's what they're doing. Project Veritas, God bless James O'Keefe, and please, Lord, keep that man safe. Because Amen. what he was showing back in 2015, 2016, with the children that were unborn, being cut out of the mother's womb, that were 6 months, 7 months to up to 8 months old, and they were being horrifically, brutally murdered or cut apart alive.
Oh man, that is that.
Where
that
are
is
your
so
pastors?
Wicked.
Where are the pastors speaking about this? Where is the politician speaking about this? And this is why RFK won't get my vote, because he supports it. Donald
does he
Trump
really?
Supports it. Yes, he does.
Oh, that
yes,
ain't good.
He does. He supports it. Donald Trump supports it. So you're off my list.
Me
here's
too,
what's
buddy.
bad. Here's what's bad is the most Christian guy on the entire platform is Ron DeSantis. And Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis are so busy trying to chew each other's face off that they forget that they are to serve us. Let me give a little point of reference.
Good point.
As a king, your goal is to serve your people, not your people serve them. A king picks up first and sets down last. That is a king. A king inspires men to be better. A king will walk around and lift people up around him. He builds his kingdom above him, and with his strength, holds his kingdom up above him. That is what a king should be doing. That is what all leaders should be doing, because we should be putting from the senior to the most infant above our own priorities. Because if there's no one here, there's no kingdom. But instead, your politicians believe that we are nothing more than numbers. I know, I've been told that when I was a contractor overseas, or some people would say mercenary or whatever. I don't care what word you use. They're all honestly the same. I sat in on a two-star generals meeting as ambassador is the wrong word, as the liaison officer for our contracting company. And we were doing the weekly briefing, the general's weekly briefing, talking about how many people had died that week within the area of operations or on base or the other bases that he supersedes and looks after. And it's like, okay, we lost 10 here. We lost, you know, 5 there. We lost 30 over here. Okay. And then I heard, all right, well, these can be replaced. And
it's kind of cold.
It is cold. And I was, God, how old was I? I was 23 when I was a contractor. Youngin, right? Young buck. And it's something snapped in my head, Billy. I was like, wow, I'm that replaceable. That replaceable. No matter how intimate we were with our friendship, the jokes, you know, hey, Doug, while you're over at the PX, you know, grab me some Red Bulls. Here's a 20. Get yourself something. Hey, Roger that, sir. You know, to think that if I died, there'll be another one of me immediately. That was my first taste of the military-industrial complex. And it has given me a very bad image upon the way we do things in America. And I don't see us changing it, Billy.
No, there's no human solution for the tragedy that's here now and that which is to come.
The only solution, the only thing that we have is Jesus. That's it. You know, but before we close this, and I'll let Billy, I'll let you close it out for us. But the last thing I'll say this is that if your heart is not right, if you're feeling that pull, if you are hurting, give your woes, give your burdens over to Jesus. Take his yoke. It is easy. It is light. Be one with him. You know, crucify yourself to that cross and live selflessly. Stop living for yourself. And God will start to open your eyes to much more than what you may imagine was out there. That's what he did to me. My life was all about me until it wasn't. And now I see very differently. I think very differently. I speak very differently. I am not the same creature. I will say that, Billy. When I was saved, before I was saved, I was not the same creature. I was detestable.
I can say the same thing, brother.
I was detestable. So if you are not saved and you find this moving, Please just dedicate yourself to Jesus. You can do it right now. Give your sins, give your life over to Christ. Take him upon you as your savior. And, you know, from there, the battle really begins. Billy, you want to close us out?
Thank you, Almighty God, Holy Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost, thou thrice holy, Lord God omnipotent. Nothing is impossible with you. Thank you for helping us to make our souls boast in the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. And please enable us by the power of your Holy Spirit for all your people listening, and Doug and I, our loved ones, enable us to fully trust, delight, commit, rest, and wait patiently for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you order our so-called good works, that you've ordained them, and we don't have to sweat the load about it. Please continue, and we thank you that you do continue to rebuke the devourer from amongst us. Thank you that you continue to encamp your angel round about them that fear thee, and that you deliver us, O Lord. And please subdue our iniquities. Help us, Holy Father, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who liveth forever and ever. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Amen.
Amen. Maranatha. Brother, I guess that's all we got. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to us.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're taking time out of your day. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray with your family. Anoint your home. Anoint the four corners of your land. Pray that hedge of protection around your family. And do not become lackadaisical in your faith. Don't let the gate stay open when you go to sleep so that the enemy can come right in. Close the gate and lock it with Jesus every night. He is our great redeemer. And in times like this, perilous times, right now, you know, everyone's talking about World War III happening, and Russia is going to nuke the nuclear plant over in Ukraine. And there's so much scuttlebutt and rumors on that. So, you know, be mindful of what you hear, especially when it comes out of our mainstream media. Remember Operation Mockingbird. Don't believe a thing. Don't believe a single thing that you're hearing. Search the scriptures for your answers and for your questions. Man, that's all I got. Billy, thank you so much for providing us with the storm warning. Hope this blesses everybody.
And, God bless you, man.
If God leads you, please donate to Billy and keep his show up and going. If you want to donate to the American Vindictus show, the easiest thing to do is go to Give, Send, Go. There's also a P.O. box address that's on the website, AmericanVindictusShow@.com. Don't use PayPal because PayPal canceled me and Vimeo canceled me almost a year and a half ago. So don't even click that button. I don't even know how to get it off. So that's all we got, ladies and gentlemen. Be mindful of what's going on around you. Keep your 360 degrees of situational awareness at all times and stay frosty.
Yeah, and be of good cheer, for the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world.
And he's returned.
Love you, Doug.
Love you, buddy. See you guys.
Bye.
stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.